everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Already, Tom, a third of an inch. And it just started a couple of hours ago. So we had predicted maybe an inch and a half. So we're on.
So when they give us these measurements, yeah. Is that per hour, per day?
Then that is the cumulative at the airport. Up through that was
for a 24-hour period.
Well, that was till 11 o'clock this morning. So just since the rain started,
it does. You know, an inch doesn't sound like a lot, well, but it accumulates.
Yeah,
apparently.
It'd be a cumulative deal over today and maybe a little bit tomorrow. Hello, everybody. Buckmaster with you on this Friday, December 22nd, 2023, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station's 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source now for live local news and talk on the radio. We'll begin our 14th year with our radio project, January 2nd, for the radio show, and that will begin our 36th year on TV and radio in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening podcast and show archive that goes all the way back to the first week of January in 2011 at buckmastershow.com. For our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, our media sponsors, Friday, a big shout out to the folks that prominently display the Buckmaster logo on their homepage, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith is here, so I can thank Dylan personally. Thank you, Dylan.
You are quite welcome, and back at you.
Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Dan Shear and his team, Tucson Local Media Group, Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Today we have two guest media hosts. Jim Nintzel, who spent more than 30 years with the Tucson Weekly as senior editor, now a political reporter for the TucsonSentinel.com. Jim, good to see you. Recovering very well after your open heart surgery. My goodness.
Yes.
It went well.
I wouldn't recommend it, but it's a great way to lose a few pounds ahead of the holidays. And a Merry Christmas to you, Bill, and all your listeners.
Thank you very much, Dylan Smith. Thanks, Dylan, for coming in as well. And I want to wish you and yours a Merry Christmas as well. All right. Congressman Raul Grijalva is our Friday Focus interview. United States Representative, Democrat, representing the 3rd Congressional District of Arizona, first elected in 2002. And I remember that so well because I hosted the debate that the congressman, who was not a congressman at the time, but he was running, what were there, a dozen of us or something?
There was 13 of us.
13.
No, what, 11. 11.
11. And I was hosting that, and I was told, you've got 1 hour with 13 people. So everybody got, what, 5 minutes max?
Anyway. Wait, that was at McHale, right? You guys did that one?
No, the basement. The basement at KUAT. Congressman Grijalva is the ranking member of the House Natural Resources Committee. Congressman, great to see you.
Great to see you, Bill, and as well to Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and I know this is going to be first Christmas you spend without your lady after 51 years. Sad for that, but very happy to be here with you one more time.
Tack on maybe 5 more years when we weren't married. I think most Christmases we were together, so I think it was pushing maybe 56 years for the first time without Anne at Christmas. Anyway, before we talk about armaments to Ukraine and Israel, let's focus in locally here. What's going on at Lukeville, the border crossing? I mean, why is it closed, and when's it going to reopen?
That's part of the mismanagement that's going on, and I say that because we have two things going on in the border. We have a management crisis, and that response has to be. That's why the supplemental is so urgent on that end. That has to be the resources that are needed to, one, deal with this humanitarian crisis and make sure that local communities and municipalities don't end up carrying a burden to themselves that is really a federal responsibility. And those are resources for processing. Those are resources for dealing with the shelters and NGOs like Casa Salitas that continue to do a job as this humanitarian crisis and this humanity on the border continues to mount. And what happened in Lukeville is an example of the fact. Moving three or four personnel from Lukeville to help with processing in Nogales or somewhere else is not going to deal with the enormity of what we're dealing with here. And I think that the more it gets hung up, more the chaos becomes deeper. But, you know, on a fundamental level, there's that management issue that has to be dealt with. And then there is the political debate that is ongoing and has been ongoing for two or three decades in this country about what to do. And the response has been schizophrenic.
Yeah.
You get to a certain point, you know, two or three times we've passed DACA, Dreamers, the farm workers and essential workers program that was endorsed by the Chamber of Commerce, was bipartisan, passes the House, and dies in the Senate. Or it was during the Trump administration, and none of that legislation, regardless, was going to go anywhere. And then you have the periods that we're in right now. And I would suggest with much more urgency than in the past, is the response then becomes, do we harden it? Do we begin to the process of sealing? Do we change asylum laws? And that's the political debate that is ongoing now. But the management of the crisis and the fact that it's not going away, I think that's attention number one. And the fact that it got joined into a supplemental package dealing with Ukraine and primarily Ukraine, and that if we were going to send relief to that democracy, then
there would have to be something done about the border.
No, then these policies must be part of it.
Yeah,
I'm glad to hear that we're hearing more and more from Republicans, and I stand to be corrected. But I was asked a question by the media dealing with the fact that, you know, my colleague Cisco Mani had said that he would like to see those two issues divided:
mm-hmm.
immigration on one end, and let's have that debate, and let's deal with those differences. And let's deal with how you reform a broken immigration system. And more importantly, what do you do about asylum?
All right.
Do you do about the reinstating Title 42?
Yep.
We should have that. But as long as they're tied together and it's politicized to this degree, it jeopardizes everything.
All right, Jim Nintzel.
Well, I want to talk about asylum because the New York Times is reporting you've had 6 million arrests between February 2021 and September 2023. You've had 800,000 asylum applications, which is a 63% jump over
right.
2022. You've got 2 million cases in backlog. You have fewer than 700 immigration judges, 800 asylum officers to hear these cases. What needs to change in this system? Because it seems like there's a whole new phenomenon of people arriving I need asylum, and by a much larger number than we've seen before.
I was talking to a friend that's retiring from Border Patrol. It's been in the Tucson sector, primarily in Nogales, probably his whole career. And he was saying, you know, the difference now to when I started is that people would run from us and hide from us as they came into the country unauthorized. Now they're turning themselves into us. And this is the phenomena of that is being dealt with right now at the border. And the asylum law, with international and U.S. that are the same law, requires a process and requires that credible fear be established. And that, the backlog, the fact that that is the mechanism, the diversity of the people that are seeking asylum at our border, is we're not just talking about Mexican nationals. We're talking about the world. Mm-hmm. We're talking about every corner of the world coming and
China,
seeking asylum.
Africa,
West Africans everywhere.
And it goes back to the point I was making about the management issue. It's a resource issue. The numbers that we've had to deal with this issue in terms of personnel, administrative judges, immigration judges, processing separate from enforcement, processing the applications, establishing credible fear. We're still dealing with the same personnel, and it shrunk for 4 years under Trump. And so now that phenomena continues, and that has to be resourced. It has to be upgraded. It has to be put in place, because this is, as we go forward, and eventually having, I anticipate that there is going to be a level of changes dealing with the asylum law, dealing with that issue. That proposal is going to come before Congress. I don't doubt that. But that is, when does that happen? Right now, it's the resource issue to deal with the backlog and to deal with the strain and that it's putting a local community to accommodate what is the federal responsibility.
Dylan, would you like to join in?
A quick one on that. Well, certainly, mm-hmm. we have a bunch of other topics to cover. But it seems to me that certainly the once people are not directly at the border, but dealing with the new phenomenon of more and more people claiming asylum is certainly a big issue. And we don't have enough, you know, judges and officers and all of that to, you know, handle that process. But it kind of seems to me to be posturing by Customs and Border Protection to shut down the Lukeville crossing,
absolutely.
To shut down one of the crossings in Nogales, because how many more people does that free up to put out, you know, out in the middle of nowhere in the border? And we've dealt with equivalent waves of people showing up in the past. This is, you know, these numbers are not completely unprecedented. It's a lot of people, but we've seen this before.
No,
with many fewer agents.
If the point was to draw attention, mm-hmm. if the point was to make a point, And it hasn't worked. All it has done is it's like other things that we keep talking that was the silver bullet. The silver bullet was to build a wall. That ain't working, and it hasn't worked. You know, Arizona has the most 450 miles of any state, and yet we are right now the principal funnel for asylum seekers and people turning themselves in. So that didn't work. More and more Border Patrol agents on the border in those critical areas, the personnel has gone up 60-70% in the last 20 years. And how much more? So those things haven't worked. And the idea that somehow we're going to make the point of closing Lukeville, reducing NACO, eliminating Sasabe, closing lanes in Nogales, same thing in San Luis, and somehow that is going to deal with the problem. It's not going to deal with the problem. And so, you know, I understood why Governor Hobbs called the National Guard to provide some relief, to make a point that you need to open Lukeville. And I don't agree with that symbolism of sending the National Guard, but I fully understand that this is, I think, importantly to say. And she hasn't used the vile rhetorics of others in dealing with this issue, and that's very much appreciated as well. But what she did, I think, was necessary to make Lukeville and those closures and those reductions in times crossing make it the issue that it needs to be, because it's not necessary.
All right, more with Congressman Raul Grijalva, Jim Nensel, and Dylan Smith, both here from TucsonSentinel.com. Right now, I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Still time to get up there and put in your order for your Christmas dessert, maybe your dinner rolls, and more importantly, perhaps the Danish Kringle. So Mona's will be open. And they're open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They'll be open on Saturday and Sunday, so you have time to stop by, stock up on what you need to have your comfort food for the holidays. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. We'll be back with Congressman Raul Grijalva right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez in 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez in 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezsin67.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our Friday Focus interview, Congressman Raul Grijalva is here. Jim Nintzel's here along with Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. As a listener just sent me an email during the break, the border is a disaster. It really is. I mean, we've been talking about this for, you know, decades, and nothing ever seems to change, Congressman. I mean,
I think as I look back on my service in Congress and beyond Congress and, you know, before Congress, Board of Supervisors, the issue of immigration, the reform it needed then, and the urgency of what it needs now, that to me has been one of the greatest frustration of any of the public policy issues that I've had to confront. You know, the humanitarian issue, the polarization, the political end, and what I was just talking when we were off the air, that the management part is the big issue right now in terms of how we manage this chaos that we have. The other part is the ability of Congress, because this is the only body that can do something substantive about it, to deal with the political risk and try to find some common ground around the fundamental issues that need to be reformed. And obviously that's going to include security, but it also has to be a willingness at that middle ground to talk about the humanitarian and the long-term issues that are involved and any changes that have to be made, then they do have to be made to the immigration. That's the political risk, and that's where, you know, the more the chaos, instead of, right now it's the expediency politically of many of my colleagues. How do I either avoid the issue or take advantage of the issue? And And by taking advantage, the situation becomes worse. The public becomes more angered and frustrated by inability to do something about it. And the demagogues begin to control the narrative about what needs to be done. And we're in that kind of a period right now where the risk factor nobody wants to take, but to exploit this issue and use it going into 2024, absolutely. That's all you've been hearing, and you will continue to hear for a while.
Here's Jim Nintzel.
We could talk about the border for the next 3 hours, I imagine, but I want to shift topics over to the Colorado Supreme Court decision removing Trump from the primary ballot in that state. Your thoughts on that decision? Was it appropriate? And obviously the whole question of insurrection, you were there on January 6th.
Yeah,
so.
I was debating Paul Gosar as to the validity of the votes that were counted in Arizona, and Mr. Gosar not wanted them counted. And that's when it happened. But, interesting question, because I was at the White Elephant in Green Valley looking for stuff for Christmas, you know, and it's wonderful. They run a wonderful place there. And the lady asked me the question, says, what do you think the Supreme Court's going to do after Colorado? First of all, I think the decision was okay. Okay. And that there was merit and legal backing to that decision. The issue of going into expediting to a Supreme Court on that, my prediction that it'll be 5-4 or 6-3, which will overturn that Colorado decision regarding Trump. That's as much as I can say about it. I don't, you know, it's still kind of recently happened. Is it a denial of someone's ability to run for office? Does it try to silence a voice? I think there's legal, historic, and factual reasoning to that court decision, and I think it's correct.
Jim, you have a quick follow-up to that, or want to switch? Got a lot of topics here.
Defer to Dylan here.
Yeah, Dylan.
Well, we are.
How about water?
Well, I got a real quick one first. Right. While we are talking about elections and et cetera, you have been in office for a month or two.
Yeah, I've been there.
These past few years, you've had some health challenges. You're running again?
Yeah.
So in this coming year, you're seeking to hang on to this seat.
Yeah, I think we announced, but nobody heard.
I'm just making sure.
Yeah, you know, I think, Robert F. Kennedy had a great quote, and they asked him about, age and running for office, not directed at him. I think it was somebody, one of his opponents. He goes, age is not necessarily about time; it's about the mind. And my mind's good, and I feel like I still have the same curiosity I've always had about this. I still have the same wants. I still have the same fundamental values as to why I run. And if anything, I feel that that's a tone that's needed. And if I have a chance to be chairman again of this committee, then the resources committee, then there's some follow-ups around important environmental issues, water, climate, and indigenous folk in this country that and environmental justice that are unfinished, and I'd like to get another crack at that.
What is the solution? Is there one about the Colorado River? What's your take on that?
People hate me to say this, and my esteemed advisors say, don't say that. Stay away from it.
They tell you to don't touch
it. I think there's going to come a point.
Okay.
I think there's going to come a point where the basin states that depend on the Colorado River, 7, Arizona being a principal state in that equation, I think there's going to come a point where, as much as people hate to hear that, that it doesn't seem to be, there's kind of a wish and a hope that it'll go away. In terms of fundamental stakeholders, and the way it's divvied up, with mining having unlimited, ag business having unlimited access to that Colorado River, and indigenous folk being in that tier as well, that that there's going to have to be a come a time when I think to that the federal government is going to have to pay a uniform, is going to have to deal with some uniform policies and some specific policies that begins to deal with the usage of the Colorado River and that resource. I mean, I don't see, and I haven't seen individual states and in Arizona, although Governor Hobbs has made great strides in trying to do that at this point, I don't see that consensus, that sacrifice that's going to be necessary, that reprioritizing of water usage in this state or in the basin region to happen. And it's a reality, and we're losing water, not gaining water. We're losing aquifers, not gaining aquifers. I think the federal government's going to have to step in and begin to provide both the guidance and the policies to make sure that that resource is there for one or two more generations.
You got to wonder, don't you, about how sustainable life is here in Arizona?
I don't wonder a lot about that, to be honest with you. I think the challenge is that I have a lot of faith in these young folk coming up, and I think the challenges we're going to face are going to require some gutsy calls on the part of government and elected officials, and I see that possibility pretty
strongly.
Let
me rephrase it. How sustainable growth, continued rapid growth, is here in Arizona. Obviously, life is sustainable.
You saw the,
at least for now, I guess, but yeah.
You already saw the Central Arizona Home Builders Challenge, mm-hmm. even the yet unimplemented but introduced rules on water. It's mining industry not wanting to put limits, not dealing with that, not paying any royalties mm-hmm. toward anything, and they have unlimited first-tier access. That's a problem.
All right, here's Jim Nitzel.
Well, it's raining today, so maybe our problems are solved. As long as we're talking about environment, you know, we have the 2016 Paris Agreement, no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius. But to accomplish that, people are saying emissions must be reduced by 45% by 2030, 6 years from now. Net zero by 2050. Is that a realistic goal at this point?
It's a tough goal, but realism aside, it's a necessary goal. I think the costs to economic and in terms of society are augmenting every time we don't move faster in the transition to non-fossil energy and fuels, and the longer we take. And right now we're in that period where the House of Representatives is back to drill, baby, drill. And at the same time, trying to undo some of the incentives to transition that's in the Inflation Reduction Act. We're back to that dumb debate. I think it's not only a reality, it's an urgency that we have to make that turn. Because the economic and social cost, the longer we wait to make the transition, the longer we slow it down, the more cost is going to be on the other end. Really, really high cost.
Dylan Smith.
Well, let's shift a little bit to another long-standing conflict. How should we be balancing our commitment to support Israel with some very valid concerns about the invasion of Gaza?
Yeah, I don't think it's the either or proposition that we're presented with on this question. The criticism that I get for not being 110% on the side of any decision that the government of Israel makes in relationship to what they're doing with Gaza and what they're doing on the West Bank and the settlements, et cetera. That either-or proposition is, I think, and really the actions of this particular prime minister in the last 6 years have aggravated the situation there more than ever. And the reaction, in terms of what happened October 7th, and that horror that is indeed barbaric. And the reaction that Israel needed to take to protect its own interest, I think the United States was right in assisting and supporting. But we moved to a threshold where the issue of ceasefire pausing has to be on the table. And I'm glad that the Biden administration is beginning to see more urgency in that, because 20,000 dead in Palestine, that I'm not even doing a moral equivalency of the barbarism issue, because that's not the issue here. The issue is 20,000 and 60%, 70% women and children, with no abatement toward that. I think that there has to be the discussions and the negotiations now about how, A, you end this violence now, two, how the stabilization of the region in the long run, which requires more than just the United States. It requires the United Nations and international presence to do that, and then move from there. You know, what happens after that is something I've always supported and should, and that is a two-state solution moving forward. I think that is part of the key to peace in the long term. But you have a government in Israel right now that's hard about that, that doesn't support it, that in fact undercut it, any effort to move toward that in that direction. And, you know, to put my full trust and faith into the government of this prime minister to deal with this issue the way it has to be dealt with right now, and that is to begin to cease the violence and move forward on a long-term solution, I don't have any trust and faith in that. And that is a problem, and I think it's not just a problem for me. That doesn't make you anti-Israel, because I believe in its sovereignty and its right to exist, always have. And it doesn't make you any particular anti-Semitic feelings toward Jewish people. That's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the full-time, the humanitarian need to deal with the Palestine people and that question, and I don't think the solution is violence. It hasn't been, and it's not going to be. The sooner we move to real negotiations about ending this, the better off we're going to be.
President Biden is struggling in the polls, and we're quickly running out of time. What do they have to do, the Biden administration, to turn things around? Because obviously the message that the economy is not in that bad a shape is not getting out there, Congressman Grijalva.
And then, you know, we talked about one of the issues, the border, that's going to drag on him. We talked about Dylan asked me about the other issue having to do with Palestine and Israel, and that issue is dragging him, with particularly with young people that don't support the all-in and trust and faith in the prime minister policy. But I think one of the things the Biden administration and the rest of us Democrats have to do, and other folk, because I don't brush every Republican as being a MAGNA extremist, although a big chunk is. I think what we need to do there is talk about what the danger of the Trump presidency would bring to this nation. Talk about the direct threat, and begin to talk about that as opposed to being consumed but what happened at this particular trial and what he did when he grabbed somebody inappropriately. Talk about what he's talking about right now, the poisoning of our blood, the need for retribution, political and otherwise, the need to fundamentally change, you know, our democratic imperfect structure and replace it with an authoritarian structure. I think that that's what Biden needs to do and the rest of us need to do, to talk about the threat. Don't talk about what we already know and confirms our beliefs about Trump, but talk about the threat to people that perhaps don't understand what that threat represents.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jim, real quickly.
Oh, wow.
We're out of time, basically.
What?
Yeah.
Out of time. All right. Well, then, perhaps.
No, what is?
I was going to say, you've had some interesting leadership changes in the House recently, and you got to get a budget together relatively quickly when you get back there, and it's all mixed up with Israel and Ukraine and the border.
And it's mixed up on the Republican majority breaking a deal. We had a deal on the debt ceiling, and those were the levels. And now they're coming back in appropriation to say, hey, how about another 30% here? How about 70% here? And those are all, you know, programs that directly support and deal with the American people, the public in general. That's the fight ahead. And that to me is what I mean. Look at that challenge ahead of us, because, you know, we're going to go back into negotiations on what? There was a deal made, and I hope we keep to that deal, and I hope the Senate has the wherewithal to insist that that deal be kept.
But are we looking at a government shutdown?
I hope not. That would be really stupid on the part of the Republicans. Stupidity has not been a factor in holding them back the last few months.
Okay, guys. Congressman, thank you very much. Hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season.
Merry Christmas.
Hope it goes very well for you. All right. I've got a few things to say to Jim and Dylan, and we'll be back right after we take a break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC, so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, the last Friday edition before the new year, because we're taking next Friday off. We've got Jim Nintzel with me in studio from TucsonSentinel.com, political writer for the Sentinel, and Dylan Smith is the editor and, well, co-founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Jim, I'm glad your health is back with the open heart surgery, which unfortunately came just after you had pretty much signed out with Dylan to do the political reporting.
I did slide pretty quickly onto the disabled list, unfortunately, and I have to say Dylan has been extraordinarily patient as I've worked my way through this, and I
yes, I have.
He has. I really can't say enough about him, and actually the entire team at the Tucson Sentinel is an amazing group of people. Paul Ingram, the reporting he does there day in, day out is absolutely vital to our community. Dylan never stops working, by the way, if you're out there listening. And then, you know, we have the folks working in the background, Maria and Jean, who are just keeping things running at all times. It's just an extraordinary operation. Bianca's out there doing the work to bring us the cultural news going on in the community, and I am blessed to be able to be part of this operation, and I'm in awe of the relentlessness in which these guys continue to, although it is a small crew, continue to produce absolutely important news for our community at a time when the traditional media is really falling down on the job in so many ways and just shrinking, and it's appalling as a longtime newspaper person to watch what's happening with our print publications in this town. So, you know, we are right in the midst of a triple match, and Dylan can address this better than I can, but, you know, we're supported by the community.
Yeah, because these people are not working for free, Dylan Smith.
Indeed. You know, we've got a longtime experienced professionals, in addition to some folks who are, you know, newer in their careers. And, you know, we're committed to fostering young journalists as well, and, you know, giving them the benefit of the long experience of folks like Jim and our columnist Blake Morlock, and, you know, making sure that there are really good reporters to keep serving this community for a long time to come. So right now, our year-end fundraising campaign is going on. We're supported by people in this community who understand the importance of having truly independent local reporting, keeping government officials responsible, explaining what a weird, wonderful place it is that we love to live in. And if you contribute to the Sentinel through the end of the year, through midnight on December 31st, your donation can be matched 2-to-1, so you can triple your dollars. And we have a few ways to leverage that even a little bit more, such as some of that money goes to report our Report for America core members, which include Jim, who's one of the small number across the country of their veteran core members, folks who are, we're trying to make sure that their knowledge is, still put to use, and as well as, younger reporters like Bianca Morales, who, is our culture and values reporter.
If you
give us money right now, if you sign up to contribute $25 a month, we can turn that into almost $1,000 worth of reporting over the course of a year.
One story you all have been following very closely: the reporter from KJAZZ, the public station up in the Phoenix area, arrested at a demonstration at Raytheon. Those charges, as you report in the Sentinel, now been dropped.
Yes, Alisa Resnick was on November 30th out doing her job. taking photos and taking notes at a protest at a Raytheon facility on the south side, not the main facility by the airport, but out at the U of A Tech Park. And some of the protesters were being arrested, and she was arrested, one of the first to be arrested at the scene. And really, there's a kind of general rule. Actually, it's in the general orders of the Pima County Sheriff's Department to let reporters do their jobs at crime scenes. And instead, these deputies decided that they really didn't like somebody there paying attention to what they're doing, it appears. So they arrested her, tried to charge her with trespassing. Yesterday morning, we found out, and she found out, that the county attorney's office had dropped those charges.
All right, we're out of time, but I want to extend it about a minute. Dylan, the report was out today, Dylan and Jim, from the committee that's been looking at a new jail or maybe upgrading the jail. Anything, there's really nothing that came out new, no recommendations yet.
This is the interim report from the Blue Ribbon Commission set up by the county to take a look at things. From our opportunity to look through the report this morning, there wasn't really anything unknown that they included in this. Basically, it's a pretty good compilation of observations about the jail situation, but things that if you knew something about the jail, you knew this before they started having their meetings.
You knew the jail had a lot of problems, right?
A lot of problems. It's going to be tough to fix. Yeah. Various ways of tackling it would be very, very expensive.
Yeah. Okay. Jim Nentzel, all the best to you, Jim, and your recovery from open heart surgery, back on the job at the Tucson Sentinel. Dylan, good luck to you in the new year. Let's hope
Thank you.
A good year for all of us in 2024.
It's great having Jim back off the bench and getting him back reporting again. We're very thankful for that. We're thankful for all the support for folks in the community. Go to TucsonSentinel.com/watchdog if you want to pitch in on that. And of course, we're very thankful for your longstanding support, Bill. I hope you and everybody else has a great 2024.
All right. And I'll be calling upon you gentlemen to help out throughout the Friday Focus interviews in 2024.
Always happy to.
Thank you very much. Hope both you guys have a great Christmas. All right. Coming up, the swan song for Mr. Matt Russell after 13 full years doing Weekend Watch. Matt's going to retire from the WW Post. He'll be back with us for one final Stir It Up.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
And time to stir it up, Holiday Edition Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City. Lots to do. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. You'll be tempted with the many outdoor activities and just hanging out in Silver City. Some beautiful Victorian architecture, all gussied up, all decorated for the holidays. Great places to dine as well and stay. Let's welcome now the longtime host who's wrapping up 13 years of stirring it up as our Weekend Watch correspondent on the Buckmaster Show, the award-winning Tucson publicist, Matt Russell. Hey, Matt.
Oh, my goodness. I knew I'd need Kleenex for this final segment, Bill. Going to make me get through this segment without crying. Good luck, right?
Yeah, good luck. Well, we're off and running. What do you got going for us on? I think the parish has always been one of your favorite watering holes.
You know, it sure has. And what a great context, because we're talking about sort of holiday inspired, seasonal inspired cocktail menus. And the parish loves to celebrate the season, both at the center of the plate and in the glass. And they just launched their winter cocktail menu yesterday. Now, one of the highlights is a rich and comforting take on the traditional toddy with a brown butter bourbon. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. There's also a cocktail that was named the Tucson City of Gastronomy Drink of the Year with gin and peach syrup. They've got some almonds, some raspberry, some ginger, other holiday flavors. These cocktails are tailor-made for a cold and rainy day like today. So raise a glass and celebrate the season at the parish.
A lot of people like to dine out on Christmas Eve. It is, for many, a family tradition. Any suggestions, Matt Russell?
Yeah, you know, you don't have to go far to find some great options for Christmas Eve dining. Most resorts around town are doing some great things, but the prefix menu at Maynard's Kitchen downtown has me literally licking my chops, Bill. A miso pumpkin salad with a house-made focaccia is kind of getting things started, followed by a standing rib roast with a bone marrow butter. They're going to have a selection of large family-style sides. The evening is going to cap off with some Christmas cookies, some brownies, and of course, some warm cider. They're going to be doing seatings between 4 and 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve, so you best reserve yours now by calling 622-8848.
Yeah, a lot of people like to dine out on Christmas Day.
Yeah, let someone else do the work. I mean, we all work so hard. Let's not labor around ourselves. One of my favorite dishes, Bill, of all time, will be featured at the Coronet on Cushing Street. It's a local variation on a global theme. It's the iconic porchetta, which is a slab of pork rubbed with pepita seeds and herbs. They're going to stuff that with a black garlic duxelle, roll it up, tie it up, roast it to a perfect texture, and then slice it and serve it with roasted squash, a cranberry chutney, and a green apple salad. Talk about Christmas on a plate. It's Christmas at the Coronet with this rock star porchetta, and it's on Monday.
Oh, sounds very tasty. I want to thank you very much personally for all you've done for the Buckmaster Show. 13 full years. You've been there all along. You're going to go to the sidelines now, and we're going to welcome in Dan Gibson the first Friday in January. Thank you so much, Matt, for everything.
It's been a privilege. You're a dear friend, and I'm grateful for the time and for the opportunity to work with you.
Thank you very much. Hope you and yours have a lovely holiday season. Thanks, Matt. that.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks to the whole team here, including Tom Fairbanks and everybody at KVOI, Bustos Media Tucson. Wishing you all a very happy holiday season. Be well, everybody. Stay safe.